It's good to be together with family at a time like Thanksgiving, and I hope that today you feel like your family here, whether you've been here 100 times or whether this is your first. We welcome each and every one. Well, it was just like any other day in class. I was going to start with a devotion to start the class time, and my plan was to talk about how even though the Israelites had seen so many miracles when they'd spent their time in Egypt and leaving Egypt and all the things that God had done in the wilderness, after seeing all those miracles, they still turned away from God. My point of that devotion that day was that just seeing miracles won't necessarily give us faith or a reason to believe. So I began the devotion with the students that day with a question. And I said, how many miracles did the Israelites witness in Egypt? And the answer stopped me short. For one young man quickly responded with a chuckle. Zero, he said. Now, it's never fun being confused in class. Can you say amen? It's even less fun to be confused when you're the teacher of the class. Zero, I asked back. Yeah, he said, Israel was never in Egypt. That's just a story. There is no evidence of Israel ever living in Egypt as slaves. This conversation happened not when I was at Iowa State. It happened last year at Union College. I had made the mistake of assuming that everyone in my class was a believer. And I discovered a young man who had grown up Adventist, and he had believed the Bible. But now, as a young adult, he no longer had a reason to believe. So I developed a relationship with that young man. We began visiting after class, and we talked about science and faith and belief. But since then, I decided that we should do a sermon series looking for reasons why we can believe the Bible. A few weeks ago, we looked at the reason for science in the Bible as a reason to believe. If you missed that, that's okay. You can go on YouTube. You can find it there. But today, we're going to see if we can do a little digging this morning, and we're going to see if history can help us believe in this book. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that you have promised to speak to us. Your children are listening. Help us now to find you and to find a reason to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, rock music has been sharing its message with the world for several decades now. But did you know that the notion of rocks sharing a message goes back before anyone ever picked up an electric guitar? In fact, the idea of rocks crying out with a message comes from Jesus Christ himself. You can learn more about this in the books from Ray Comfort or in our Thunder in the Holy Land series, and we do have those DVDs ready for you. But this morning, let's look in our Bible and let's see what Jesus was talking about. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to open it up. If you have your Bible on your phone, I want you to turn it on because I want you to see what Jesus says. A very strange saying of Jesus we're going to look at today. We're going to go to Luke chapter 19. In this story, Jesus is entering Jerusalem at Passover time, and the people are excited. It is teeming. It's like Husker game day for the folks back then in Jerusalem. Everyone is excited about what's happening with Passover, but this time even more so because Jesus, the one that people have been whispering about, talking about, is coming to Jerusalem. In verse 38, the people begin to declare Jesus as king, saying, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The crowds are excited, but not all the people are happy. In verse 39, we find the Pharisees speaking up. In verse 39 of Luke chapter 19, and some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." the Pharisees, the leaders of the people, the religious leaders say, quiet the people down. We don't want all this show. A little decorum today. Why do they want them quiet? Well, they wanted to keep the peace. And people yelling and shouting about a king is a great way to get the ruling governors and the Romans to be upset. So he said, shh, tell people to be quiet. And Jesus gave them a very strange response in verse 40. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, that's certainly a strange saying. But today, there's an amazing truth in Jesus' statement. Because today, rocks are indeed crying out and giving us reasons to believe. Reasons to believe in the Bible. Because you see, critics and scholars of today have concluded that the story of Jesus and the stories in the Bible are just that. Just a story and nothing more. Just to support that conclusion, they say that several parts of the Bible have no real factual evidence in real history. For them, for something to be real history, it has to be written by an author outside of the Bible. So since they demand evidence outside the Bible in order to believe, I think Jesus may answer them today and say, okay, well then listen to the rocks and let them declare the truth. King David is one of the most prominent characters in the Old Testament. You don't have to go to church too long before you hear of his exploits and his stories. David was Israel's second king, and his life is widely chronicled in the Bible. Here's the problem, though. Scholars have declared that there's no evidence outside of the Bible that David ever existed, much less that he was the king of Israel. It's just a story. Something you tell kids, not real. So they concluded that the Bible is just a bunch of made-up stories. But they kept digging. And in 1993, a stone was discovered that cried out with an incredible truth. Now, stones many times were used for writing back then instead of paper. And they didn't have tablets back then, so they used things like this. This was their tablet back in the day. And they found this stone back in 1993 with the inscription of it, the house of David and king of Israel. Now, friends, don't take my word. Yeah, amen, right? For the longest time, no, there's no David. And then, oops, wait a second, we found a rock. Now, don't take my word for it. Even Time magazine listened to the stone that was crying out. And they said this writing that dated back to the 9th century BC, only a century after David's reign, described a victory by a neighboring king over the Israelites. So in Time magazine it said, the skeptics' claim that David never existed is now hard to defend. That comes from Time magazine, December 18, 1995. But friends, David is not the only character in the Bible that scholars have claimed it's just make-believe. There's another one, a very important character and a very important book of the Bible. The book of Daniel has come across such controversy through the years. Its prophecies tell of world history in advance, before it ever happened. And this was the book, Daniel was the book, that brought a rock and roll DJ from Iowa here to Husker Land to talk to you today. That's from the book of Daniel. So this is an important book. This is a book Daniel predicts when the Messiah would actually arrive. So it's no wonder that critics have sought to show that this book was not written by an Israelite named Daniel in the courts of Babylon. And one reason they gave for not believing this book is because of the story that's found in chapter 5 of Daniel. Daniel 5 tells of the defeat of the Babylonians by the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel writes that King Belshazzar was defeated and killed when Babylon fell. Let's turn there and see it. If you turn with me to Daniel now, chapter 5. This is a very famous story in the Bible as well. You've no doubt heard the saying, he saw the handwriting on the wall. It comes from Daniel chapter 5. For the king was partying and having a good time with his friends until a hand wrote some words on the wall. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 30, the story ends. It says, "That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old." For the longest time, critics have claimed not true about the story of Daniel, because the historical records have claimed that the last king of Babylon was Nabonidus. He was the last king, and he wasn't even killed when Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians. So they declared, "You see, Daniel, the Bible is not true. There was no king Belshazzar. It's just made up fiction. No reason to believe it." But somebody kept digging, and they found two rocks this time, one called the Nabonidus Chronicles and the other one called the Nabonidus Cylinder. And you can Google them and find out about them. And these two rocks told about, sure enough, the last king of Babylon, King Nabonidus. But they also spoke about his son, who was made co-king with him, whose name was Belshazzar. The rocks cried out again and said, "The Bible can be believed. Belshazzar is real." But the scholars, did they change their mind? Did they suddenly believe? Maybe some, but certainly not all. Now, scholars have had just as many troubles with New Testament characters as they have with Old Testament characters. The New Testament comes under fire as well. And it's the life of Jesus, his death, his resurrection in the Bible that are a central belief to the Bible. In fact, Paul describes it this way. If you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, when it comes to the story of Jesus' life, when it comes to his death and his resurrection, if this story falls down or has any chinks in the armor, everything falls down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at verse 14 and on. It says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found as false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins." Without the resurrection of Jesus being a historical event, the life-changing good news of the Bible becomes nothing more than a fairy tale. And a major person in the story of Jesus and in his crucifixion is Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor mentioned in the Bible. He was the one who sentenced Jesus to the cross. And for years, critics have claimed that there is no Pontius Pilate. We can't find him. There's no historical record of him anywhere. So the story of Jesus' death, it's just a fabrication. It's just something that was written by believers who wanted to believe. You cannot believe what the Bible says. But what did they do? They kept digging. And in Caesarea Maritime, in 1961, a stone was discovered that spoke of Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea, even in the time frame given of AD 26 to AD 36. The rocks of history cries out again, giving the exact name of the governor of Judea at the exact time that Jesus was crucified. Can we believe this book? Can we believe its story? My friends, the rocks of history continue to cry out, yes, you can. Archaeology continues to provide reasons to believe. Archaeologist Dr. Nelson Gulick declared, "It may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. Sources of archaeological findings have been made, scores of archaeological findings have been made which confirm in clear outline or exact detail historical statements in the Bible. That's from an archaeologist, not from a pastor. And friends, it's not just the stones that tell us that we can believe in the story of Jesus written in the Bible. Ancient historical writers, people who didn't write in the Bible, tell us about Jesus. These are writings that speak of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and they speak about it outside of the Bible. Here are the extra biblical writers who mention Jesus. Josephus, of course, one of the most famous, writing about AD 93. The Babylonian Talmud, Pliny the Younger's letter. I'd like to be referred to as the Younger, wouldn't you? Pastor Josh the Younger. I don't know. Maybe you got to get older to really like that title, but Pliny the Younger wrote a letter to Roman Emperor Trajan about 100 AD. The Annals of Tacitus, Marabar Serapion, after 73 AD, wrote the life, and we have the life of Claudius, the life of Nero, written about 120 AD. All these ancient documents that speak about the man Jesus, who was more than just a man. My friends, there are reasons to believe in this book. Listen to this quote found from Reader's Digest in June of 2000. Well, that's not the quote, but we should do that, right? Does your Bible have dust on it? Here's the quote from the Reader's Digest. In extraordinary ways, did you hear that? In extraordinary ways, modern archaeology is affirming the historical core of the Old and New Testaments, supporting key portions of crucial biblical stories. This was written by Jeffrey Seller. In extraordinary ways, would we expect anything less from our God? So what do you think? What have you decided? Can you believe the Bible? Well, let's take one last closer look to my original controversy. The student who declared that there was no evidence that Israel ever lived in Egypt. And you know what? He was right. That was certainly what the critics had concluded. And yet, someone kept digging, kept looking. Egyptologist Galit Dayan found compelling evidence to support the historicity of the biblical tale. Dayan presented her research to an audience of more than 200 at the Sinai Temple. Dayan earned her PhD in Egyptology from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem and told that group that with linguistic evidence, it reveals an ancient and deeply involved Jewish presence in Egypt that eventually disappears. To illustrate, she drew remarkable parallels between the language of Egyptian papyrus, or hieroglyphics, the Haggadah, and the Bible, all of which contain references to the Exodus story. In piecing together these manuscripts, Dayan framed an Exodus narrative based on facts of Egyptian history and language to prove her theory that a mass exodus did occur and happened during the reign of Ramesses II. This is an Egyptologist who did this. In each of Egyptian manuscripts that Dayan discussed, the same familiar characters are named. Moses is one, which is an Egyptian name. Pharaoh, the Red Sea or the Reed Sea, the Hebrews, Israelites, and the presence of slaves in Egypt. And then one manuscript was very powerful, the Epurer Papyrus. And it describes in eerie detail chaos in Egypt. Listen to this. This was found in an Egyptian papyrus. Plague is throughout the land. This is Dayan's translation. Blood is everywhere. The river is blood. And hail smote every herd of the field. The land is without light and thick darkness throughout the land. The Lord smote all the firstborn in the land, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the prison. Does that sound familiar? That is a translation of a papyrus manuscript from Egypt. Ancient stones and papers from the past declare to us that we can believe. Amen? Amen. We just have to keep digging. Friends, today I'm so thankful for God's word. Thankful that I can believe in these ancient words. Not just because it sounds good. Not just because it helps me sleep at night. And not even just because it's changed me and helped me to live a better life. I can believe this book because there are reasons to believe. The last time we learned about the witness of science and why we can believe. Next time, in a couple weeks, we're going to be studying and looking at prophecies in the Bible for reasons to believe. But for now, today, we've learned that even history itself, and by continually digging, we can find hard rock evidence. I'm sorry, rock hard evidence. We can find rock hard evidence for why we can believe. Do you believe this book? If you believe it, keep reading. Keep digging. Never stop learning, my friends. If you don't believe this book, if you're unsure if you can believe this book, I encourage you today, keep digging. You'll be amazed by what you find if you look with an open heart. For the ancient rocks still cry out today, pointing us to these ancient words that are still trying to guide us to our home and to our God, who loves us and longs to save us. Today, will you listen to the ancient rocks and begin to listen to God's ancient words? Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much that years ago, when I was uncertain whether or not I could truly believe this story, you gave me reasons to believe. And I thank you, Lord, that today you're still giving us reasons to believe that you are there, that we didn't come into this world as some cosmic accident. And Lord, you have a purpose for our lives. So we thank you that you've revealed to us again that there is a God in heaven. And the story of the Bible reveals to us again just how much that God loves us and how much he wants to save us. Lord, help us. Help us to keep digging, to keep searching for you, for you've promised to reveal yourself, to not hide, and you promised to become a part of our life and change us. So bless us, Lord. Keep us listening. And keep us digging. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.